Live from the center of the Razorback universe.
The only radio show Razorback fans need to listen to.
Unbiased and unafraid.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ruskin and Zach.
Happy to have you with us here on Ruskin and Zach. Happy to visit with the head coach of the Razorbacks, Sam Pittman, with us here on the Williams Tractor Hotline. Coach, how you doing? Hope you and everybody are well and healthy during all this craziness.
Yeah, we're doing great. Thank you. We're handling it well and proceeding forward.
So Zach and I were talking before. Just kind of walk us through a day right now. What's a day like for you and your staff right now?
Well, today was abnormal because, it was the first day that you can call recruits in the 2021 for the spring signing. So today was a little bit different. But normally, we come in the morning, or I do, the staff's all everywhere, and then at night we have a staff meeting. We write a lot of notes. We have a certain number of kids that we have to text. The kids that we write notes to, I expect to talk to them. So our coaches try to get me on the phone with them. We have a one-hour meeting with our players twice a week. Those are kind of like a team meeting where we do a head coach's video to start that meeting. And then at 4 o'clock, we get to back together and see how the day progressed as a staff. And then we kind of close up around 5 o'clock, and then we recruit until it's not time to recruit anymore, until the last guy doesn't call, and we go to bed and do it again the next day. It's been very, very busy. We write a lot of notes, so it takes quite a bit of time for that as well.
Coach, I'm curious obviously there's no playbook for what's going on here. Have you had a chance to maybe talk to other head coaches around the country and sort of pool ideas together on how this works? Or how did you come up with how you guys individually are going to handle this?
Well, we had a plan we were doing some of this, most of this, before the virus came, and then we just kind of amped it up, recruiting. And we kind of doubled up on numbers per day that we were trying to get a hold of. We also write our own players. So, we still are recruiting our own players, too, so that takes a little bit of time. But how we got the plan, it was kind of the plan we were using before. And then I've talked to several different head coaches. I talk to 5 Arkansas coaches a day. And I run off ideas from them, what they're doing. And we've used some from the high school coaches in our state, and we've used some from head coaches at other colleges.
We're talking with Sam Pittman here on Ruskin and Zach. I would imagine, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I would imagine when the news comes down about this in March, you guys are getting ramped up for spring football, there's a moment where it's just total frustration, but then you've got to snap into, well, now we got to figure out what we can do. Is that about how it went down?
It really is. You're given in life, you're given situations, and then you just deal with them. And the guys are saying, oh, well, this is happening, this is happening. I can't believe we're not having spring ball and all that stuff. The safety of the country is the most important thing, and you just deal with it. We thought that we were going to get in at least 3 practices before spring ball, before spring break. And so when we heard this virus was coming, we amped up to have a practice on Sunday so we could maybe get 4 practices in before we went to spring break, because feeling like we might not be able to practice when we got back. And so we change all the time. So we were getting ready to go Sunday, and then Friday we were told that, everybody needs no more classes and we can't have any activity. So it changes all the time, you know, just like we've been told that there's a possibility we may get in the dorms on the 29th of June. Well, we might not. So whatever that is, you have to have so many different plans, but you have to be ready for a lot of different situations. So that's what we're trying to do.
Coach, Brian Kelly was on TV a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about the time frame that he would need for his football team to get ready for the season pre-start of fall camp. Have you guys sort of zeroed in on a time frame that you would feel comfortable with before the 30 practices that would be scheduled in August?
Well, I think our strength coaches would like 6 to 8 weeks. Now, that's what they're familiar with. That's what they're comfortable with. I think if we can get back by the 1st of July, that we would have our team in great shape, ready to go play the season. I'm a little older school. That back in the day, we used to come in August 1st, and the guys that stayed in the summer were guys that maybe were overweight or guys that needed some type of academic hours for eligibility. Those are the only guys that stayed. And the rest of the team came back August 1st and he was ready to go. I believe that we could come in August 1st and go and have a football season and be in shape to do that. I think the key is that is when there's a definite date. When there's a definite date, I think your team, everybody's team is going to work a little bit harder knowing that this is a cut and dry date. I don't think we'll ever get one this year. I think it'll be hard to get one. And so, therefore, you have to trust your team that they come in shape. But the answer is July 1, I think we'd be in great shape, ready to go to the season. And I believe that we could even do it if it was into the 1st of August.
We're talking with Sam Pittman here on Ruskin and Zach. So you, of course, everybody knows, have a great reputation as a recruiter. And now that's kind of all you can do. So in an odd way, does this kind of play to one of your strengths and one of your staff's strengths is when this is just more and more time that you can recruit?
Well, I know we sure are working hard at it. We worked hard at it before the virus. But we're trying to use that as an advantage. We sure are. Like today, I've spoke with 30 kids, and I have a few more to go before tonight's over with, but it's just work and it's recruiting. It's trying to change your roster and I enjoy it. So it's not like it's work. It's, you know, I enjoy that part of being a coach.
How hard is it to recruit? I mean, you can't go and see these kids. You can't talk to them in person. How hard is it to evaluate these players simply from film?
Well, I think this year, and the word's not mistake, but I'm going to use, I think you're going to make more errors in judgment this season than we normally would. And the way to be fairly close in your judgment of whether a kid can help you at the SEC level is to work him out in camp and get to know him a little bit better, have him on campus. So we'll probably make a few more judgments and err towards character. We could make them as far as athletic ability because we're not going to have a chance to be around them. That's why you want to talk to these guys all the time, because you want to get to know them. You want to get to know their principal. You want to get to know their coach. And so that's what we're trying to do, our due diligence in those areas.
We're talking with Sam Pittman here, Arkansas head football coach, on Ruskin and Zach. Yeah, I mean, you talked about it, Coach, about not just recruiting, but you're also recruiting players that are already enrolled in school here. And you talked about confidence and trust. And it's just, how do you build that when you can't be around guys day in and day out? It's got to be difficult.
Well, you have to be on the phone with them. You know, we write our own players. We have daily meetings, you know, up to 4 hours a week with our own players. And the only way you trust somebody because you know them. You trust somebody because you see them, you converse with them. That's probably the biggest disappointment in as far as the virus affecting us. And of course, I'm not talking safety here, and I'm not. I know that is the biggest a part of the virus. I'm talking about for our football team when they left. You know, we felt like we were building the trust, and we're continuing to try to work on that. But if we had them here a little bit longer, I believe they would see we're going to say what we're going to do, and we're going to do what we say. And that's how people, I believe, earn trust.
Coach, I want to ask you an X's and O's question. Kendall Briles is going to install a brand new offense, an offense that will be new to all of these players. When you finally get your team back and everybody's sort of in a room and you start to install that offense, is this a situation where maybe you pare it back a little bit, simplify things, and then add as you go, or are you going to try and put everything in right away?
It depends on when we're able to come back. I think if we're able to come back to July 1, then I believe he can open up his playbook. You never have your whole game plan in, or your whole playbook in at the first game. You don't, because you're going to do a whole bunch of nothing very good. But if we end up August 1st, I think you'll see everybody cuts their playbook back quite a bit. Ours will be a little bit more than that, simply because, again, we haven't been out on the grass with them yet. But, yeah, we're going to have to cut back. We're going to have to make sure that whatever we install is our favorite and that we do that well.
I want to ask you about your quarterback situation and sort of along the same lines. I mean, these guys are obviously the most important people because they've got to know where all the other 10 guys on the field are. How are they adjusting to this new system? How much have they been able to just learn through osmosis, not being in the same room with Kendall?
I think they're doing a pretty good job. You know, we can Zoom conference with our players, and I think they're learning well. I think Kendall's a really good teacher. And I think he's simplified it down well. I told our coaches when these Zoom meetings started, I want you to go ultra, ultra slow, because obviously if the fastest we can get back is July, and again, it's fluid, but if that's the fastest, you have plenty of time to install. So we're going awful slow, and I think our kids, especially the quarterback position, are learning our offense.
Sam Pittman's our guest here on Ruskin and Zach. It's very possible, and as you've mentioned, the timeline moves all the time, but it's very possible the next time Razorback fans get together for a sporting event will be at Razorback Stadium for a football game. Does your mind ever get to kind of wander and think what that will be like when the longest delay any of us have ever seen is over and everybody can get together again? Or is that something that you just don't have time to think about, honestly?
Well, if it's any better than what I've always dreamt it would be, it's going to be unbelievable. I want to get out amongst our people and our fans, and I think it's going to be electric in our stadium, and I think it'll even be more meaningful since you know, we haven't been able to do much, and we have the greatest fans in the country. I mean, we do, and a lot of people say that, but we'd be hard-pressed to beat the Arkansas Razorback home and family. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. It'll probably be an emotional time and all those things, but we have a job to do as well.
And, you know, the other thing, too, you kind of alluded to it, Coach, is that I think everybody is going to, you know, kind of cherish these things a little more than we used to, from players, it's always talking about, you know, the next play and all that, coaches, fans, everybody, it seems like it's going to be, at least for a while, a little more grateful and a little more appreciative of these games when they do come back someday.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I think everybody appreciative to get life back to normal and things that we lost, you know, and things of that nature. Will be a little more appreciative probably of our jobs and you know, of people around us, all those things. And there's always a silver lining around any negative situation. You know, you can find it if you want to. And I agree with you. I think we'll end up coming together and being an even stronger Hog Nation.
Coach, I'm kind of an X's and O's nerd, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. I'm curious about sort of how, what this offense is going to look like. I think we understand that Rakeem Boyd will probably be, when they trot out, you know, against Nevada, it'll be Rakeem Boyd in the backfield. Woods, Burks, Knox, who's that fourth receiver? Are we going to see tight end? Is it going to be wide receiver? Is it going to be some combination of that?
Well, I think I think Kendall will do a lot out of 11 personnel, which would be your, three wide outs and a tight end. We'll get him 12 as well. I don't think that you'll see a ton of 10 four wide personnel unless we're in, third and long, second and long, things of that nature. But we're a tight end oriented offense. You'll see one of them out there probably the majority of the snaps.
Is there any chance to see two running backs? It just feels like he's a down the field sort of, he wants to throw the ball down the field. I mean, can we see two running backs in the backfield at the same time?
Oh, absolutely. If we feel like that's the best way for us to move the football, I've talked about Traylon Smith before, but he had an awful good 8 weeks of training. And of course, DJ Hammond and Spivey, we've got some speed back there, so we'd either start in two backs and move them out to wide out on an adjustment, or leave them in the backfield and let them, one of them block for the other one.
Another very nerd out X's and O's question for you. Have you and Coach Odom sort of settled on exactly how you're going to run this thing defensively, schematically? I've heard some rumblings that it could be a 3-2-6 with the picket, with the safe three safeties across the top. Have you guys had those conversations? Are we too far away from that?
Well, yes, obviously we've had conversations, and Barry's coached all kinds of different defensive fronts, and we're going to try to get our kids to play hard and play discipline, which all his defenses have done. I think it just depends on how many D linemen we feel like we have that we can be strong on the defensive front, and I think we feel like we're a little bit better with depth in the secondary than maybe what we are up front. So we may use a three-man line, which he's done in the past, and we may go to four. I know we will be multiple, so I know we'll use a four-man front and a three-man front over or under defense. We may be a 4-3 team at times. But that's not uncommon, to be honest with you. I mean, everybody you play runs probably four different fronts almost every single game. Very, very seldom do people line up and say, okay, here's what we're going to be in every snap. And I think we'll be very much that same way.
Sam Pittman's with us here on Ruskin and Zach. Coach, we had some questions about free time, but it doesn't sound like you have a lot of free time. Do you cook? Do you grill at the house? Just kind of... What's that like?
Well, obviously, I eat, so...
so we can relate to that.
we're about into our home now, and I enjoy going out back and cooking something on the grill and relaxing and visiting with my wife a little bit. There's not a lot of that time right now because recruiting's so amped up, so there's not really a lot of time even at home, but we enjoy that. And I've been watching Netflix, I finally purchased Netflix. I never had it before, and I'm enjoying Ozark right now.
Oh, really? Oh, okay, we won't ruin it for you. That's like our favorite show. We won't ruin
Please
that for you.
Don't. I'm in the first. I'm going to episode 2 in year 3, so please don't.
Oh, okay. put get one of the helmets out of the equipment room. Buckle up, because it is a wild ride the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Hey, one more nerd out question for you. I mean, they had a lot of guys last year, a lot of offensive linemen that played probably too early. Have you given it? I mean, you're going to get Luke Jones, Noah Gatlin, all those guys are going to come back to you. Have you given any thought to how this combination is going to work? Do you, sit in your office at night and kind of, okay, he can play there, he can play there. Have you given a whole lot of thought to how that offensive line is going to come together?
Well, I really haven't. I've given a lot of thought to who we have. And I'll say this, I like the group because of their mentality, because of the way they work, obviously. we need to get bigger. But I like the group, the way they work. I believe that you need several centers on the football team, and so we're trying to create a little bit of competition and trying to create some guys that can snap the ball, so we know that we have enough guys on our team that can play that spot. With that, it also sure makes you learn the offense a lot faster too. I don't know if we really know what we have right now, and that's not just on the line, that's at every spot. So I think the key on the O-line is getting the right people in the right places. And so that'll be kind of interesting, our first couple of weeks of camp, to make sure that we have the best five we have in the best five spots. And so, yeah, of course we thought about it, but, you know, we don't really have the answer because we haven't been able to see them live, ready to go.
All right. You're in season three of Ozark, so I feel comfortable in asking you, if there's a fight that goes down, who do you want on your side, Ruth or Darlene?
Darlene.
Yes. Darlene's my girl. Darlene is my girl. I want her with me.
Hey, the fight ain't gonna last very long.
That's right. That is exactly right. Sam Pittman, our guest here on Ruskin and Zach. Coach, we appreciate the time so much. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right. Coach Pittman and all our guests join us on the Williams Tractor Hotline. I could not let him get off the phone, because I know what the text backlash would be if I didn't ask that question. So I had to ask. Darlene or Ruth?
You know what? He's opened me back up to Darlene.
And now he says Darlene, you know, and he brings up a great point. The fight wouldn't last very long.
That's very true.
That's right.
And Charles Wilkes Aaron Goldstein made the point that, you know, she may kill you in the process, but Sam Pittman has said he's team Darlene and I'm back.
This changes everything.
Everything. The whole world just tilted. I am all about.
I couldn't face the list. I couldn't face the merry band of idiots if I didn't ask that question. So there you have it.
See, and you know,
and I hope all of the websites that pick up on this say that write about this interview say, look, Sam Pittman chooses who he wants to be in a fight, wants on his side in a fight, and from Ozark.
And you know what? The best part about that was, you know, he watched it when he said that fight ain't gonna last long.
That's right.
You know, he's watched Ozark.
Yeah, yeah. That was great. Oh, Darlene.
Yeah. See, I told you.
Yeah,
you're not wrong. She stabbed Michael Dean in the neck.
No, no. And I mean, just who else was watching this? I heard somebody watching this that was catching up too. So someone else on another show somewhere was talking about this, and yeah, it is. You're right. You need all the gear out of the equipment room to make it through season three.
Grab a helmet out of the equipment room and just buckle up.
I can't wait till March of 2021 for two reasons. A, there might be football, and B, we can finally talk about all of season three.
I know.
We can unload all of the secrets in March of 2021. Oh, it's going to be great. That's my why. What's your why? My why is March of 2021, when we can talk about season three of Ozark openly without being ruiners of the whole show.
I'm so excited.
There you go.
All right.
We'll make that our SEC report, which is brought to you by Eat My Catfish, which is open for curbside right now. So check them out at Eat My Catfish.
Yes, please. You want me to do that? Sorry. I was texting with the office over there.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was just letting them know that we appreciate it.
Yes.
All right. Started 11 years ago in a trailer, Benton, Arkansas. Now has locations in Benton, Little Rock, Conway, North Little Rock, and Fayetteville. Serving fresh U.S. farm-raised catfish, crab legs, gulf shrimp, po'boys, and more. Don't forget Mama's tartar sauce. Eat My Catfish, now open in Fayetteville.
I thought you were texting one of your women. I didn't know what was going on.
Dude, over there. Really? No. I'm just saying thank you, like okay. I always do.
Okay. Yeah, thank you to Coach Sam Pittman for joining us today on the Williams Tractor Hotline.
That's all of our guests. The headline is he chose Darlene. Forget the 3-2-6, all of that stuff. Yeah. He picks Darlene in a bar fight.
Yeah. That's
great. He's not wrong.
This changes everything. It really does. All right, we will hit a break and come back with more. And, you know, like our Mike Nabors interviews, when we talk about that stuff, it's more fun than the basketball.
I don't know. I kind of nerded out.
Well, you did. Yeah, that's right.
I like that.
You had a grease board out, drawing all the plays out. It was weird. Back in a moment, Ruskin and Zach. Shout out to Moses Moody and Eric Musselman, I guess. A sweet 16 version. Come on, baby.
Oh, come on. Don't do this. Remember how the pathway to seven wins went?
Yeah, but this guy knows what he's doing, unlike Chad Morris. Come on.
Maybe we...
Let's hear it again. Ooh, baby.
Killing me.
All right. Ruskin and Zach. Moses Moody signed today. Hey, hey. How about that? How about that? There's only one more left. Did anybody take Justice Hill up on that little wager? Anybody? Anybody? He's got one shot.
He's gone.
And then he's gone. A lot of people going to be asking for $500.
He's been suspiciously quiet.
Yeah, what happened there?
I don't know.
What happened there? We haven't heard from him in a while. We haven't heard from Junior. We haven't heard from anybody in a while. What's going on? Radio silence. Can't figure it out. Well, yeah, I kind of can. Oh, boy. I hope they... Where did he go? Middle Tennessee?
Murray State.
Murray State. I hope they play Murray State in like a 13-4 game next year. How about that? How about that? I mean, how about that?
That would be... I mean,
everybody waving $500 bills in the crowd? Oh, that'd be fun.
Wow.
That'd be fun.
Razorback talk show designed for smart fans.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
We're back. Ruskin and Zach. Let you enjoy Slash there for a moment. Some point in here, Axel blows a whistle. Well, never mind.
It is the only rock song that I'm aware of.
With a whistle?
With a whistle. Now, Donna Summer's Hot Stuff also had a whistle, but... I don't know.
Is that the beep beep? No, that's Bad Girls.
No. Beep, it is. Beep. It is. Yeah, it's beep, beep. It's the Bad Girls song. Yeah.
Wow. Right.
Okay.
Coming up in a half hour, we will talk to Dan Shonk from rlads.com.
Shonka.
Why didn't you put the A on the card?
Did I not?
Card? No, sir. I copied it verbatim.
Spelling was never something I did very well. Math, I never did real well.
You know, Viagra is the stuff.
No, that's if I say something that's already been said.
Okay, sorry.
Not something blatantly obvious.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
The time has... Do we have any funny text to read here first? Let me not scan the machine here momentarily. No. Now the time has come. After days...
Month
and days of tedious voting and voting and voting, we now are prepared to crown the winner of the first, and let's pray to God only, who do you want to be quarantined with, bracket.
In an upset of Titanic proportions. The overall number two seed, Scarlett Johansson, rolled into the finals with a resume, high scores. She looked unstoppable. But the eighth seed out of the East region, Jennifer Aniston, prevails in an upset. 56% of you picked Jennifer Aniston as the person that you would want to quarantine with. So no
one told you about that.
I'd just like to point out that when I brought this whole thing together, our 64 contestants, I never in my wildest imagination thought that a 50-year-old woman would win our quarantine bracket.
And tell you what, now that Moody's signed, can we re-vote and put Musselman in there?
Hey, he made it to the Sweet 16.
I think Musselman would win it today if we did the whole thing today.
I don't think so.
I do.
I think Jennifer Aniston would.
He got Moses Moody, man. Come on.
I'm absolutely certain that Jennifer Aniston would win.
Still in bed at 10.
Okay, I'm done with
work
that.
Work began at 8.
So Jennifer Aniston.
You don't clap in the second verse either, by the way. You don't.
Jennifer Aniston wins the 2020 Who Do You Want to Quarantine With bracket. It's been fun. It's been long. It's been a month. And I don't ever want to do this again.
Yeah. She says the haircut was an accident. And then she just started seeing women everywhere wear it.
Hmm.
It was an accident.
Was this a quote in the post game? The presser?
I just saw this pop up on social media, and I sent it out on Ruskin and Zach because it's apropos because this is our winner of the first. And again, let's pray only quarantine bracket because I don't want to do this again.
No. No, I hope to never, ever.
I'm to put a mask ever. On to go to the toilet. I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, sometimes that's not a bad one.
Yeah, you need one of those big ones, like when they're like Walter White's cooking meth, like, I mean, one of those big.
No, I'm talking like
Laramie, you're varnishing a floor.
I'm talking Laramie Tunsil at the draft. Oh, type.
You're talking Fred Talley.
I'm talking mask.
Fred Talley gas mask.
Yes.
Is that a known story, or did I just break news?
I believe
you know that story.
I do not. So I guess you know what else we got to do. Give me some.
I don't know enough about it. Ask. Ask Jason about it. He'll know.
Jason. Oh.
Yeah, he'll know. He knows all those stories that you're not allowed to tell.
I call him.
He leads the league in stories you're not allowed to tell.
You know what? We have a lot of nicknames for some of the. He's Methuselah. He's just that old guy that sits up there and knows everything about everybody. And you just go to him for counsel every now and then. And then he gives you just little bits and pieces.
Long beard. Yep. And,
gives you little bits and pieces. And then you turn away and you're a better person for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Jason is Methuselah.
Yeah.
Been there a while.
Justin and Darnell, how the hell can you pick Musselman over Jennifer Aniston? He got Moses Moody! Come on! What are we talking about here?
It's Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. A noted basketball coach texting me wanting us to call out Justice Hill. And I told him, he just got to the radio. I was like, we've done that already. He's going to owe a lot of people $500, it looks like, come Monday. I hope he can handle that situation. This is literally a situation, potentially, because we don't know about K.K. Robinson, but he's supposed to sign on Monday. This is potentially a situation where you're literally writing checks your ass can't cash. Literally.
Again. So...
What else?
Fun times.
All right. There you go. So she won. Now, we're going to stand down from the bracket stuff for a while. And then we're going to do another one because, let's be honest, we got time. So, and then I've told Zach this. If, and we don't know what's going to happen, but let's play worst case scenario. We open things up. It gets bad. We close everything down again. We will do another quarantine bracket.
We will.
And I say we double the teams to 100 and whatever 64 is times 2. 128? Check my math on that.
Yeah. DQ, do the math on that, would you?
Check my math. Yeah. That's 128. There you go. And for DQ, we may put more men in it next time.
No, we're not.
But there's not going to be a next time because we're all going to think positive. And this is going to work, and we're not going to have to do this ever again. There we go. Amen.
You're lucky you got the 8 you did. Okay.
Some of those 8 were not great choices, though. Musselman would win today if he was Musselman versus Aniston today. Who wins?
Oh, Aniston in a runaway.
But Musselman got Moses Moody.
I understand that. I completely understand that.
Okay. Completely. Musselman versus ScarJo today.
Now that might be a ball game.
Yeah, isn't she dating that dweeb from Saturday Night Live? Colin Jost, is that his name? The Weekend Update guy? You don't know anything about television from past 1979. Why am I asking you?
I don't know. 8 is Enough is the last show I watched.
8 is Enough.
Dick Van Patten.
Wasn't he in Spaceballs?
Yes.
He was the president of the King of Druidia. King of
Druidia, yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
All righty. Mm-hmm. 13, no, that's not right. That's 18 minutes till the hour. I was looking at the wrong screen. And it is time now for the SEC report brought to you by Mike Catfish.
Started 11 years ago in a trailer in Benton, Arkansas. Now has locations in Benton, Little Rock, Conway, North Little Rock, and Fayetteville. Serving fresh U.S. farm-raised catfish, crab legs, gull shrimp, po' boys, and more. Don't forget Mama's tartar sauce. True family recipe. They are open for curbside service in Fayetteville. Georgia football staff member Jeremy Klosky, who was hospitalized for 6 weeks while fighting the coronavirus, released from the hospital on Thursday, according to social media posts by family members. Klosky, who's 32, was in critical condition at the ICU at Piedmont Athens Regional.
Yes. Well, that's good to that see good it because unfortunately, when you go on the vent, some people don't come off of it is the sad part. But he, what a great recovery.
North Carolina freshman Cole Anthony, a projected lottery pick, declared his eligibility for the NBA draft on Friday. Top high school basketball recruit Isaiah Todd signed Friday to play in the G League next season. He joins Jalen Green. This is interesting. The NCAA Eligibility Center is waiving the standardized test score requirement for incoming freshman student athletes in both Division I and Division II for the 2020-2021 academic year because of the coronavirus pandemic. USC quarterback JT Daniels has entered his name into the transfer portal.
Bing!
Daniels suffered a season-ending knee injury, and he sucked, which led to Keaton Slovis getting the job as the USC quarterback.
So earlier in there, we have our second G League guy now. After the number one player on ESPN yesterday said he's going to the G League, the pathway to being a professional or whatever this thing's called. Where you go there for a year and then you go into the draft, right?
Right.
And now we have another guy.
Correct.
That's doing this.
Number one and number 13 in the class.
What are the we talked about this yesterday. I don't know if you've read any more on it. I'm curious. Like, do you have to apply for this? Do they let anybody in? Like, what is?
I don't know how this is all going to work.
Qualifications,
because I like it. They said they would pay up to $500,000 for elite talent. Who makes that decision? My question is, are you drafted? Are you slotted? Well, how does this all work? Like, it's very vague in how they came up with this.
Yeah, are we talking elite like LeBron's coming through, or are we talking elite like Michael Olowokandi, who's one of the guys back in the day that skipped high school and went right to the NBA draft? What are we talking about here, and who's making that decision? I do not believe, I've seen this today, because a lot of people over the last day or so have written about this. I do not believe this has a large impact on college basketball. What it is going to do is this handful of elite prospects, that there's that word again, are going to start doing this, and then what's going to happen in college basketball is you may end up having where you don't just have to root for laundry because your team changes all the time. You may see guys stay a little while longer in the college game, perhaps. But I don't think this is going to just destroy the Dukes and the Kentuckys and the and all those people. And we've seen Kentucky start to figure out this transfer portal thing now.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
They got the guy out of Rhode Island, the Toppin brother. And I think they got somebody else, too. So we have seen they're going to pivot to whatever else, but this is not going to radically alter anything. It's just I think this is a great thing, because what's the point if you know this is what you're going to do? You're a certified one and done. Kevin Durant, Michael Beasley, whatever the case is. You're a number one. John Wall, all those guys. What's the point? It's a kind of a mockery of the whole exercise when you really only have to go to class for a semester. Mm-hmm. Because the spring semester, who cares? Yeah, you're leaving as soon as the season is over. So it's a mockery of the whole thing. So bypass all that. Go get a little money. Get a little experience. I mean, in the bus leagues or whatever. I don't know how they travel. And they probably use planes in the G League.
If they're paying their guys $500,000, I would think so.
They're using planes. And then go hang out in Sioux Falls for a few months and then go into the draft. Fine.
You know, you had me right up till... Spend a few months in Sioux Falls. You had me, and then you lost.
Albany.
Where are the G League? Oh,
they're spread all over the place. There's one in...
But they're not like in major metropolitan areas. They're in small towns, right?
Well, there's one, like the Knicks G League team is in Westchester. So it's like, it's on Long Island. So it's not in Manhattan, but I mean, it's...
Is it called St. John's?
No, it's not. It's called St. John's. No. But they got teams all over the place. I just like to make fun of Sioux Falls and Fort Wayne for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
These I'm a terrible huge person.
Towns. Wilmington, Delaware.
There you go.
Uniondale, New York.
That's the...
Portland, Maine.
There you go.
None of this sounds appealing.
Not Bangor, Maine.
No. It's Bangor. Please.
Biloxi and Bangor. That's it.
Bangor. Mississauga, Ontario. Yeah. White Plains, New York. Canton, Ohio.
White Plains.
Fort Wayne. Walker, Michigan. This is huge. Kaufman. This is a good one. Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Are they playing in a subdivision?
No.
Cool.
Rosemont.
Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
There you go.
Erie, PA. I'm in.
Hey. That's where the town that produced the O'Neaters.
That's Wonders.
That's right. And I wonder what happened to the Oneaters.
Exactly. Boy, Cedar Park, Texas. That's the Metroplex, right?
There's a guy with a trailer that wants to sign us up to do a record.
And they're going to put a team in Mexico City. That sounds like a good time.
Hey, all right.
I don't know. Cool. El Segundo, Santa. Yeah, this is. Yeah, enjoy.
Well, I mean, it's a. Listen. I don't know if you've been to Winston-Salem lately, but it ain't no prize either.
No, I mean, there's
or Durham.
There's a team in Wilmington, Delaware.
Yeah, man.
You ever been to Delaware?
Once.
It's awful.
I don't remember much of it.
Well, yes. Because there's nothing to remember in Delaware.
There you go.
The first state, right? Yeah. Right?
First Delaware state? The first state?
Yes. Right?
He looks around feverishly for confirmation. None is available.
I figured one of you would know.
I should know that, but I don't. I think Delaware. It is Delaware. I think you're right about that. Well, I don't know. I mean, I've been wrong on everything before. Why not be wrong about this, too?
You guys are useless.
No, we are. Like a screen door on a submarine. We're useless.
Oh, God.
No. All right.
Text out the 870 wants to know if we talked about Ryan Mallett.
Well, to be fair, we like mentioned it in two sentences. It's not really a topic.
Did we talk about it?
Is it a topic? How would you make that a topic? Let's play the at-home version of Ruskin and Zach right now. All right. Ryan Mallett's hired at Mountain Home. How do we make that a radio topic? Go.
I'm regretting bringing it up.
Well, what we should do, here's the thing.
Can't shut it off.
I have an idea. Turn it off. I command you to turn it off. I have an idea. Let's do nothing for hours. And then as people get in the car and start asking us about these things, then we'll talk about it. How about that?
Yeah, there we go.
We'll do that. Never mention anything. You can read us from the R Lads scouting guide that we have here. Just read it. Like Andy Kaufman when he got on stage and read The Great Gatsby at the college. And then when people call in and bring him up. I'm not upset about that, but the guy just got in the car. Appreciate it. Okay. 866-285-4005 is the phone number. Does Mountain Home have Scantrons? Oh, JT, that's a really unfortunate. I mean,
wow.
We love the people of Mountain Home. They're very excited, I'm sure, about this. Mountain Home football has not been relevant in hundreds of years. And now they have this, and they have a reason to have a little pride in there. Don't tear them down today, JT.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, God.
You out there, someone, one of you, has turned the content petering out poll question of the day about 80s cars, film cars, into content because someone wrote in Bandit's T-Bird as one of the iconic cars.
Of course, the 80s.
When was of the 80s? Now, class, when was Smokey and the Bandit released?
I believe that was the late 70s.
1977.
Sir. So, if I'm not mistaken, 1977 would not qualify as part of the 80s.
So, here's what I want to do.
People.
Here's what I want to do. Because we have here, as the line goes, a failure to communicate. So, I'm out of ideas. Help me help you. What are we not doing well that keeps generating these incorrect responses to questions we do here? This is your chance to just pop off and say whatever you want. What are we not doing well to communicate? We're in the communication business.
It is.
And yet every day we ask a question about a specific target and someone always comes in with the wrong answer.
It's possible. If we say something, you might miss it. But you had to have read the question. So it's a reading comprehension question in this particular
if you
instance.
Are listening and you flip the radio on mid-thought, you may miss it. That I understand. But when you're reading something that says iconic cars of the 80s and you throw in Bandit's T-Bird from a movie made in 1977, how is that in the 1980s? Thank you.
I don't know, man.
Help me help you, help me, help you. How can I do this better to where we don't have these little dust-ups anymore?
To finish up the Bandit's T-Bird, he didn't actually drive a T-Bird.
It's a Trans Am.
Correct. So that's a...
He's wrong on both counts.
Year and style.
This is outrageous. So you mean to tell me that you not only... And this happens all the time as well, and I understand this because I am a nerd about certain popular culture references. Some people get little factoids wrong. But, you know, like the other day when someone said Kramer worked at a donut factory. You know, he worked at a bagel shop on Seinfeld.
You know what?
That's a little thing you get wrong, fine. But, I mean, there's a line in the movie... Trans Am, what's your pleasure when the Bandit is getting gas at the gas station and then he goes in the choke and puke to
what did he order? An El Diablo?
No, Sheriff Buford T. Justice ordered a Diablo and a Dr. Pepper.
That's what it was. Okay.
And then he asked his son out in the car, "Do you want anything?" "I want some hush puppies, Daddy." "We ain't got time for that crap." And he had the toilet paper on his shoe when he, or on his glasses. It was on his glasses. Thank you, nice lady. So, okay, all right.
Anyway, Joe. So just Joe's coming up, and
we don't do well in the reading comprehension portion of the standardized testing. Okay, fine. That's fine.
Right.
Listening comprehension, and believe me, I have done many things where I don't read the directions and then do something wrong and have to, you know, take something apart and start over again. So I get it, but
I mean, it's a tough gig, man.
Oh, well. Megan and Forsyth, what would this show be without daily dust ups? That's a good point.
It's fair. It's what we do. Yeah. We work in it like great artists work in oils.
No. Millennial has no idea how the decade system, much less the Dewey Decimal system, works. Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm technically a millennial, and so are many other mortgage-paying adults that I know. And so I'm starting to resent the millennial discussion.
You cannot be technically a millennial. You're either pregnant or you're not. You're a millennial. Now, right. You might
and
be
I'm in, starting to take exception to all these shots at millennials.
The upper crust.
You know, the millennials are going to save all your asses from this whole COVID thing. You do realize that, right? Okay.
Oh, we're all going to die. We're all.
Well, they are.
No. No, they're not. Come on. You know that. I know that. The American people know it.
Razorback talk show designed for smart fans. This is Ruskin and Zach.
You may have overlooked the Ghostbusters car.
I did.
80s
you know what? That was pointed out. And yes, I did overlook the Ghostbusters car.
Okay. And iconic 80s cars. All right. Time now to go to the Williams Tractor Hotline and visit with Arkansas great Joe Klein, who's kind enough to join us today here on Ruskin and Zach. Joe, how are you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Appreciate the time today, and we got to start with I know something that when we visited before, you were very passionate about, which is your coach Eddie Sutton getting in the Hall of Fame. It's finally going to happen later this year, and it was announced a couple weeks ago. Just give us your thoughts on that.
Well, I'm just very relieved and happy. This is a long time coming. I mean, you know, you just thought over and over again that it was going to happen, and then, you know, it didn't, and then it just kind of kept going on. And when you talk to people who know basketball, sports writers, radio people, ex-coaches, ex-players, I mean, everybody is just, you know, baffled. There was never any a good explanation for it. And everybody talked about how deserving he was to be in there. So it was just very frustrating for all his former players and especially his family. But, you know, thank goodness they did it while he's still with us and he could comprehend what had happened. And just very, very grateful that it happened.
Joe, we had Scott Hastings on a couple of weeks ago. You obviously very much in Coach Sutton's camp. I talked to Ron Brewer the other day. I mean, you guys are almost all in lockstep with the praise for Eddie Sutton. What is it about him that sort of drew all of you guys? I mean, you guys are across, 10 years almost. And what is it about Coach Sutton that that kind of draws all you guys together and, I mean, stand right behind him saying this guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame?
Well, he's a good person. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. But, who amongst us is? And so, he was a good person, number one. He was an excellent coach. He made us be a family. I think one of the great things about what he accomplished is not only how much most of his, ex-players revere him and love him, but, how we are like brothers, and we love, guys that, I look at Ron Brewer and Sidney and Marvin Delp and Coach Counts and those kind of guys, I think of them as brothers. He created a family atmosphere. And so, I think that's a really, great quality. And then, he was a tremendous coach, and he won games. He adapted to styles, and he adapted to the faster paced game and the 3-point line and the shot clock. And so, he wasn't stuck in his ways. And then he did at three schools, he did things at Creighton and Arkansas and Oklahoma State. He did things that hadn't been done ever. And then, when he was at Kentucky, he went to an Elite Eight and almost to the Final Four. So just a lot of accomplishments.
We're up for visiting with Joe Klein here today on Ruskin and Zach. The other reason we wanted to talk to you, Joe, is everybody is talking about this this new Bulls documentary that premieres Sunday night. And, I don't know if you're looking forward to it, but I think most of the sports viewing public is very interested to see this. A, it's new content when there aren't any games going on, and B, it's a very deep dive into this last year with Jordan and the Bulls, where you were a part of that.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I was a minuscule part of, a great dynasty, but I think the thing that I'm really looking forward to is the, that's kind of my era. I look at that as the golden age of basketball, kind of when Bird and Magic came in, and then through MJ. I think that's when NBA basketball was at its finest, and just all the great players and the style of play and the rough and the tough and the rivalries and the hatred between, the Celtics and the Knicks and the Celtics and the Pistons and the Celtics and the 76ers and the Bulls and the Pistons and the Bulls and the Cavaliers. And you just had all these teams that just couldn't stand each other. The Heat, when Riley got down there and the Bulls, and it went on and on. And you just had these intense rivalries, these intense playoff series with these, magnificent players. And I really look forward to, getting to see, some flashbacks of some, games and some things that I remember, and, officials and assistant coaches, I'm sure you'll see, and people interviewed that, you forgot about or hadn't heard from in a while. I'm really looking forward to that.
This documentary centers around the 97-98 season. It's the last year of the Bulls' run, 6 championships in 8 years. And by that time, a lot of animosity had sort of built up, especially with Pippen and Jordan and the general manager at the time, Jerry Krause. Right. What do you remember about just sort of the locker room? Because Jordan was in an interview. He's on an ESPN interview where he said it was like a grind. It was a very trying year. What do you remember about that locker room and the players versus management sort of thing?
Well, yeah, again, coming from the outside, I had no idea, but there was a definite us versus them. There was a definite you know, players, you know, and not so much guys like me, but, you know, Pippen, Jordan, and Phil versus management. And, you know, a lot of it was centered around, you know, the Bulls would not renegotiate contracts. And Michael signed a, you know, I don't know, 5 or 6 year deal, you know, and that he, you know, he outperformed that in a year or a year and a half. And then same thing with Scotty. And then, you know, Phil wasn't compensated, and the Bulls would not, Bulls had a policy that they would not, you know, restructure or renegotiate contracts. They played contracts out to the end. And so that really, you know, that was the gist of it. I mean, that was the main ingredient. And so, you know, anybody that, you know, I'm sure, you know, they brought me in. I'm sure that, you know, that they were like, you know, just a lot of times new guys would come in, there would be kind of like, oh, look what they're bringing in, you know. But it wasn't so much geared at a player. It was kind of geared at management. You know, look what they're giving me. Look what they're making me do. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you would hear some people say some stuff like that, Mike or Scotty, at that. But it wasn't ever really geared at a player like it sounded. It was more a shot at management. You know, they didn't matter who they brought in. They weren't going to like them. They weren't going to agree with anything management did, because it was just, you know, they played hardball with, you know, Michael Jordan. And Michael, as you know, is a guy who holds grudges and is very stubborn. And, you know, it was odd, you know, because I thought I was going into Shangri-La, you know, I mean, you know, and I mean, it wasn't Shangri-La at all.
You played with Bird. You played with Reggie Lewis, consummate professionals. You played with Barkley. And then you walk into this. I mean, you say Bird, you say Barkley, you say Jordan. Those are three of the biggest stars the league's ever had. How did those locker rooms, or how different were those locker rooms with Bird to Barkley, and then to walk into this where you've won, what, 5 championships in 7 years? You'll win 6 and 8. I mean, you had to go in eyes wide open and go, oh, my gosh, what did I just get into?
Well, you know, I mean, it kind of surprised you. You know, there was a little bit of a divide between, you know, Pippen and Jordan and the rest of the team. I mean, they practiced and did stuff with us. But, you know, Bird and Barkley and you know, they would hang out more with you. And again, it's different because Michael was such a, I mean, even compared to Bird and, you know, how people reacted to Bird, you know, Michael was it was a rock star. It was it was the Rolling Stones. I mean, it was bizarre how people would line up to watch him walk to the bus, to watch him get off the bus. You know, I mean, just everything he did was just, like the Beatles. I mean, it was just, but the Jackson 5, I mean, it was, you couldn't believe how people went crazy over them. And so, you know, with Larry and Charles, and they were more accessible and more out in the public. But, you know, and they had a lot of people bugging and messing with them. But, you know, a lot of the things that they were able to do, you know, Michael couldn't even think about doing, because, you know, he would be, you know, there'd be 100, 200 people. If he walked down the street, it would, you know, the street would shut down, you know. And so, I mean, it was just, it was more business. It was more, we got to get this done. Whereas, you know, Larry and them, it was business and you're going to work hard and everything. But it was, I personally thought the overall team unity with Charles and Larry and them was much better than with the Bulls. But again, a lot of that had to come from, was coming from the strife from management.
And then, we're talking with Joe Klein here, of course, on Ruskin and Zach. And then with that Bulls thing, with all that strife and all of the tension, a couple of years before you got there, they put Dennis Rodman in the middle of all that. What is that like, to be on a team with that guy at the height of his of his wildness, really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's like, you know, the old saying, you know, you got a blazing fire, well, let's throw a little gasoline on it. I mean, you know, I mean, and he was, he was just, he was harmless. I mean, he didn't have a stripe. You know, he was just, he was wild. I mean, he just, you know, he showed, but he was there every day for practice. You know, he was accountable. I mean, he handled his business. But, I mean, you know, he'd go out and he'd come in one day and his hair would be green or pink. And then, you know, and then, you know, he was another guy who drew a crowd. You know, he had a following of people who really dug what he did. And so, again, you know, you already have Michael and Scotty and the persona of the Bulls, and now you bring this cat in there that, you know, he's got his own little clique and his own little following. And, you know, here we go. It just, you know, just made it even more crazy.
We're all very familiar. I mean, this is long before social media started. We're all very familiar with the competitive stories of Michael Jordan and the things that you heard. You were there. You saw some of this. Was he as ultra competitive and, like you said before, holds grudges if he lost? That, as you know, those of us on the outside, we never got to see that. Is he that competitive even to this day?
I don't know about to this day, but I mean, up to the day I left there, he was. I mean, that full year, I mean, you know, in practice, when you scrimmage, if you were on his team, I mean, you know, it was like game time. There wasn't any goofing off or clowning around. I mean, you know, and if you, you know, guys who played cards with him, I mean, it was, you know, I mean, he played to win, and it was intense, and it got, you know, they got after it. I mean, he was always pushing it and just always trying to push you as a teammate or a player, because, you know, he was driven to win. And, you know, a lot of the things that he did and said and was accused of doing and things, you know, they were done, you know, to keep his teammates on edge and keep them ready to play and keep them focused on the goal at hand, and that was to win a championship.
Where does Phil Jackson fit into all of the strife? I mean, you talk about the, you know, the Scotty, Michael and Phil Jackson. I mean, he doesn't strike me as a real boisterous guy. It was a guy that kind of got his point across in a different manner.
Right. No, he was, you know, now again, this is, you know, I don't know how it was like, but, you know, there was a strife between he and management, but he wasn't one that would bark at the moon, like you just said. I mean, or, you know, run to the paper or something like that. But he would let it be known in a very calm and focused manner that, you know, he was you know, not happy with what was going on. And so, but very professional about it. Very quiet about it, but, you know, there was a lot of strife there, and, you know, and he would back Jordan and Pippen with their, you know, wanting to be paid accordingly, especially in the earlier years. You know, Michael, towards the last two or three years of his deals, he made up for what he was not paid in the future, but I don't know that in the past, but I don't know that Scotty did. And, you know, and Phil really backed them from that standpoint, and as he should. And, you know, it created, you know, a lot of tension. But he wasn't one to really, you know, bring it up to the team or say something to somebody. He just, you know, he knew he was displeased, but it wasn't something that he would bark at the press or the media or anything like that. But it was definitely there.
You mentioned Scotty. Scotty Pippen's, I mean, he's always going to be joined at the hip with Michael Jordan. Where is he in sort of in this 10-part series? I mean, I'm sure we're going to get some background on Scotty and sort of what he did. But we don't hear a lot. You hear about Jordan, you hear about Phil Jackson. You don't hear a lot about Scotty Pippen away from the court during those years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Scotty was, you know, pretty kept to himself. You know, I mean, he wasn't one that, you know, had a lot of attention or you know, things like that. He, you know, he was kind of Robin to Batman. You know, you had to have him. You know, very essential. Couldn't do anything without him, but, you know, still wasn't Batman. Yeah. And so, that, I mean, you know, that's kind of how I always looked at it. I mean, when you look at what went on and what they accomplished, I mean, he's as important a piece as any. It wouldn't have happened without him. You know, those three guys, you know, Phil and Michael and Scotty, they all were parts that had to be together to make it to make the run that they did, and all of them were essential to making it work. I mean, if Scotty wouldn't have been there, Michael wouldn't have been as successful, and so on and so forth with all three of them. So, but again, you know, he wasn't Michael Jordan. that's okay with guys who played with him. We all know how good he was and how awesome a player he was, but you know, he's still not Michael.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is.
Talking with Joe Klein, Razorback Greats. Bulls documentary premieres Sunday night on ESPN and on ESPN2. Joe, we appreciate it today. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. I appreciate you.